Hello, and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Our guests are Wichita State Assistant Men's Golf Coach Josh Gligge and golfer Michael Winslow. Michael is a sophomore. He attended St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Kansas City. Michael played in all six tournaments for the Shockers in the spring of 2022. Last fall, finished in a tie for 10th in the Greer Jones Shocker Invitational and tied for 23rd in the Ram Masters Invitational in Fort Collins. Josh is a former golfer at Texas A&M and Boise State. He came on board at Wichita State in 2021. The Shockers opened their spring schedule on February 10th in Palm Desert, California. So let's start with kind of the big picture stuff, Josh. So Wichita State returns three golfers who were on the in the lineup at the conference tournament last spring, added three newcomers. Give us a kind of quick rundown of the fall and how that sets up for this team this spring.
You know, I don't think any of our guys would tell you that we played the way we wanted to in the fall. I think everyone believes that we are better this year, and our ranking does not reflect that right now. The guys who all played would be the first ones to tell you that. They've said it all spring. So I think everyone's excited to get back this spring and show us what we can actually do. Hopefully go start off the season with a win in Palm Desert. And we got a great schedule, playing a lot of cool golf courses, playing against some really good teams, especially to start off the year. So I think everyone's excited to kind of avenge the fall a little bit.
Mike, do you agree? What was your view of the fall performance?
I mean, I would completely agree with Josh. I think, I played all the events in the fall. I mean, we struggled around the edges and just didn't quite put around, a full tournament around together. So, I think Josh hits it spot on. I think we are ready to avenge definitely the fall. We have a lot of talent on the team for sure. And, I think, with the chemistry in our team, I think we work really well together, and I wouldn't be surprised if we play really well in conference and even, you know, try to get up to win the conference this year. I believe that. So
Mike, the golf schedule is fairly unique in college athletics because you do have the fall schedule, then you take off time, you have holiday break, then you come back and you're trying to get up and running for the spring. Give us an idea about what's your ramp-up routine? What's the practice plan to try to get you ready for the tournaments in the spring?
I would say, so obviously we go from spring to summer to fall, all is the golf season. Now, like high school, just spring and summer really, and fall was kind of like, fall and winter, we were off season. But now in college golf, you have pretty much, 3/4 of the calendar is tournament play. And so, it's always a nice thing after our last turn of the fall was to take a little time off, took maybe a week or two off and, hit a few balls, but nothing too crazy. And when after the semester was over, I went down to Florida for 2 weeks and got some good weather down there and practiced for a while down in Jacksonville. So that was good, and worked on my game. And just doing things like that, trying to get away a little bit from a little bit colder weather and such helps a lot. But when it comes to getting back to the semester down here and ramping up, just you have to go out and, grind it out. Even if it's good or bad, whatever the weather is, you still have to put in the work to be able to play well. And you're not just going to get better by sitting on the couch and watching TV if it's cold out, So if you want to be the best, you got to do that for sure. So that's the biggest thing I would say.
So, Josh, from a coach's perspective, once the fall tournament seasons are over, how do you kind of direct and keep guys, playing and in good shape and improving?
Yeah, it's hard because they go so hard from now, middle of January until the end of October. And summer is off-season for college golf, but it's not off-season for golf. All our guys play events all summer long, so they're going hard for 10 months. So we try to relax in that time, keep having practice, keep trying to work at stuff, but at the same time, make sure to take time off because it's how guys begin to dislike golf. You want to come back in the spring and be ready and be in the right mindset to work for 10 months straight. So we try to make it a little more fun in the fall, and it's a hard balance. One of the hardest things I've had to learn as a coach is try to balance the off season because you want them to work and you want practices to be effective. But at the same time, you don't want guys to burn out because I know what that's like trying to practice golf when you don't want to. It's hard to have any focus and get anything out of it. So we were just trying to balance, make it fun, but still try to make it worth it. And so I told all the guys, go home for winter break, and then right at the new year, start getting back, so that way we're ready to go when they show up day one on campus this spring. And they've done a good job. I mean, Mike's leading qualifying by 4, so it shows he's been working hard, and Lucas has been playing great too. So same thing, he was sending me swing videos all winter break, so I know that he's been working. And that's not to say the other guys aren't, but kind of early in the season, it's easy to see who's put in work over the winter, that's for sure.
So busy summer. Both of you competed in the U.S. Amateur last summer, went in playoffs to get in the big event. Josh qualified out of Pullman, Washington. Mike out of Overland Park. Describe that experience. The tournament was at Ridgewood Country Club. Describe the experience. Mike, I'll let you start. What's that like as a young golfer playing in that kind of a tournament?
I mean, USAM I've always thought of as, you know, the major of amateur golf. And so just thinking about that, you know, competing in that and being a part of that field this year was awesome. I mean, the golf course itself was one of the tougher courses I've played in my life. I played a U.S. Junior in the past, and that was tough, but I'd say definitely this year's AM was very, very tough. And that it shows to me, like, what things I need to work on and such to be up there. I mean, I was obviously one of the guys that were there, but it shows me what I needed to work on and improve in the future. So, I mean, all in all, the experience was great. Definitely one to put on my schedule next year again. I'd love to play again in Colorado this year. And, I mean, it was awesome. But I kind of got a little starstruck in a way for my first one. Unlike, you know, I remember Will Zalatoris saying the first time he played in the Masters, I mean, he finished second place, and he's like, I'm not going to let it just, you know, immerse me in this whole situation. I'm just going to let it go and play golf. And at the end of the day, it's what you got to do. So, I mean, I think that's something also to work on is when you get in those big tournaments is to make sure that you do your right things and just play your game and not get caught up in the media or whatever is going on. So I'd say that's the biggest thing that I've learned this year from that, and the experience itself was awesome. So.
And Shocker coach Judd Easterling caddied for you, correct?
Yeah.
What was that like having him nearby?
It was awesome. I mean, Judd's an awesome coach and great guy. And we worked pretty well together. It was the first time he's caddied for me. But, I mean, we've obviously worked together through not just practice, but also when we're on the road, he comes out and helps us on the course and such. So, I mean, it was pretty much – it was very, like, I'd say easy to get along, you know. It's not like someone random or – a local caddy that you don't really know or know their routines, I guess. And so he was great to have on the bag. Definitely not fired, I would say. He's still on the roster, I would say, for sure. But I had a great time with him for sure and such.
Is that fairly standard? Were there other college golfers with their coaches caddying for them? So
for sure. I mean, that's what I know. I was talking to Josh because when I qualified, he had his qualifier like couple days later, I think, and so I was talking to Judd and Josh, and they're like, well, one of us will either caddy or if you want us to caddy. And then Josh texted me and he qualified, and I was like, let's go. And so I was like, well, why not do Judd? And my brother actually came up and did some of the practice round stuff, and he plays professional golf, so I mean, he helped a lot around the edges on that side of things too. But all in all, I mean, coach, having your coach on the bag for sure, with, you know, you see them every day of practice, and when you're down here, it's very home-like feeling in a way on the course for sure.
So, Josh, you advanced to the round of 32 before losing in match play. Describe that experience for you.
It was one of the best weeks of my life. I qualified. I've only played one USAM before, and it was going into my freshman year of college, so it's been 7-8 years. And so I had no expectations getting there. I was just so happy to be there, and that's probably the best way to play golf I've learned is going out there with nothing to lose. And I don't get to play as much golf as most people would expect being the assistant coach. So I only play a couple times a month. And so I had no idea that my game was going to be there. And it kind of showed up. And like Mike said, that golf course was one of the toughest golf courses I've ever played. And that fits my style of golf. I don't make very many birdies, but I don't make very many bogeys. And so I was just loving every moment of it and enjoying it. And that takes a lot of pressure off when you're not living and dying by every shot. So I think that's kind of part of the reason I played well. And it let me know that I, you know, I can still go out and play golf and at a high level when I want. And, yeah, it was, my goal my whole life has been to hit a shot on TV. And that was one of the coolest things was people text me after the round, their TV screened me making a putt and shaking hands on 18 and winning my match in the first round. And, yeah, unfortunately I ran into Derek Kitchener, who's one of the, I mean, I think one of the 5 or 10 best amateurs in the country right now. Like he played so well this summer, but you know, I didn't even care that I lost. I was just so happy. My family was up there watching, my girlfriend came up, and yeah, with Mike being there, and he took Judd from caddying for me, so I was gonna have Judd caddy if he didn't. And so I was carrying my own bag and I was out there by myself, but just being out there, like my, I mean, it's the major of amateur golf, it's the peak, and I mean the winner get top two guys get in the Masters, and so I would have never guessed at the beginning of the week that I would have even made match play. So I mean, if I could ever get back, just even qualify for the tournament, that's another big goal of mine in the future.
Derek Kitchener, you mentioned he went on and advanced to the semifinals before losing. So you two are roommates when the Shockers travel. Tell us how does that work? How does that get set up? How do you choose roommates? And then who does what? Who sets the alarm? Who chooses the TV show? How does that whole pairing work?
When I got here, I guess a semester before Mike did. And so I tried to mix up my roommates, kind of get to know the guys better. And then when Mike got here, the first tournament in the fall, or the first tournament of last spring, I think, or maybe it was the second one, I was like, yeah, I'll try Mike this time. And we were on a similar schedule. We both like to sit there and turn on whatever games on TV and watch that. And I like the same stuff, so it's easy to talk to him in the room versus sitting there with nothing to talk about. And so it was pretty natural, and I think he played well in the first event we roomed together. And so I was like, yeah, we'll just keep it going. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some great times for sure. I mean, it's always fun rooming with someone new and such, but Josh and I have, you know, since the first time, it was a blast, I would say. And I mean, we have a lot of similar likes for sure. I mean, Josh and I sit there and talk about whatever's going on, or we could, you know, we go into some deep convos sometimes, or just random things that are going on and such. But I think sometimes some of my favorite moments are definitely when we usually post Instagram stories of the swings and such each after the practice round the day before the tournament. And so I'm always like, what genre of music, or what are we doing? Or
yeah, for those who haven't seen it, every practice round, I video every guy's swing, and we choose a theme for the song that goes over the top of it. And yeah, I can't pick it on my own, so we sit there for an hour or sometimes scrolling through playlists. We're like, what's Dawson gonna get? What's Luke gonna get? What's Aston? And that entertains us for a good hour most times before the practice round. And kind of, I mean, it takes your mind off the tournament too. It's kind of thinking about something fun and pointless. And so that's kind of my goal. I mean, yeah, he's the unlucky one who has to room with his assistant coach, but I try to take his mind off golf as much as we can, because everybody's nervous the night before the first round or before tournament. So that's why it's like, I mean, I couldn't tell you some of the topics we've gone into because it's so random. But that's my goal, is to make it light and easy for him and not take it too serious, I think, because that's when we play well.
Do the golfers ever get to pick the music for their Instagram post, or are you totally, that's your choice?
They give me some ideas. We'll tell them, we decide on the theme beforehand. I'm like, if you guys want this, and you know, Instagram limits, they don't have every song out there, and Dawson likes to pick his music, but they seem to never have his songs, or they're too foul for the team Instagram account. We got to keep it
PG.
Got to be appropriate.
Yeah. So that's the hardest thing sometimes, finding good music with that the guys like. And so I try to, it's pretty, that's something everybody should pay attention to in the spring, because the guys like it and they think it's funny.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely the funniest one was, Josh is a big Taylor Swift fan, and so when Taylor dropped her new album this fall, it was like, all right, we know this. Like, this was like a month before. He's like, I know this tournament, we're definitely doing the new album or whatever.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that. Did all Taylor Swift though? Yeah, we do that. We do 90s rock and like 2000s pop. Or when we're in Texas, we did Texas themed songs. And yeah, it's great.
And this is the Wichita State Golf team Instagram account.
Yep, all right. Always on the stories the night before a tournament. So that way, it's kind of fun. Let the guys, let everybody see the guys swings, hitting the lineup, and then remind everyone that we have a tournament tomorrow and to follow along on Golfstat to support the guys.
Who's got the best taste in music on this team, Mike?
That's a great question. Probably, ooh, that's a good question. I mean,
does anyone?
I don't even know. Like, honestly, Josh could be up there. Josh has always got, like, so I mean, if we room together, usually he's driving the car too. And so whatever music's playing in there is usually pretty good. I know, what is, he introduced, like, Tyler,
Childers, yeah. All the Texas Country.
Yeah, he introduced that to me. That was, I love, he's one of my favorites now. I guess at home, though, like, some of the guys have some good playlists that are just, like, that we listen to or whatever, but maybe, like, Tate's is pretty good sometimes, I'd say. He's got some funny music, that's for sure. He's got some funny songs for sure. I mean, I'm just, like, everything. Like, I don't know. My playlists are, like, fine, but I just kind of, like, steal other people's playlists in a way, too.
Nobody's telling you to get on the aux.
No one's – I'm not first in line for sure, but I want to be sometimes, but it's just – it doesn't work.
So this is similar to the baseball players, the softball players get to pick their walk-up music or their music coming out of the bullpen. This is kind of the golf equivalent of that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. So, Mike, you come from a big golf family. You mentioned that earlier. Your father, Tony, golfed in college. Your brother is playing professionally after golfing collegiately at Iowa and at South Florida. Your sister played at Northern Colorado. How does growing up in a big golf family, how's that shaped your golf life?
It's been an awesome experience for me. When you have family with, you know, in your sport and such, it's always, you know, besides golf, I mean, like, always hanging out with your family is a great thing. So that was also, I mean, some great memories on the course growing up. But I mean, when I was a kid, I just was kind of like, my dad just brought me out to the course because my sister's 8 years older than me and my brother's 10 years older than me. So I'm the youngest by a lot. And so I was a little kid just running around on the, you know, the practice tee or whatever, just messing around. And I think once I got to that age, probably 5 or 6, I was like, I actually want to play, and because I just enjoyed being out there. And so I think that's also something that's carried throughout my career, is just, you know, enjoying being out the course and being in God's nature and such. And so I think having a family that, and my dad was a teaching pro too, and so he taught me playing golf, and it's just been a great experience all in all with family and the sport itself too. So, I mean, and the biggest memory I probably have, so there was this hole one at Shadow Glen, it's the course I grew up at. There was like a little piece of water that was probably like 20 or 30 yards wide, so you tee off behind it and hit into the fairway. And so when I was a kid, I obviously can't hit it very far. So my dad, every single time I'd come out when I was a kid, he'd be like, all right, let's go down to the first hole and see if you can hit over the water. And so, like, obviously hit in the water a bunch when I was a kid, but I probably have like 8 or 9 balls in my room still at home that, like, I signed and dated of, like, the ones that flew over the water. And so I think something like that was really special growing up too, is like having those memories and still having those to this day. So
you get a lot of variance in how golf parents can enjoy their son or daughter's round. Some of them are nervous, they're pacing, they go walk behind a tree. You know, others are more chill or more locked in or are watching everything. How would you describe your parents? How do they consume your golf rounds?
I'd say pretty good. They know if they show, you know, negative emotions, if I'm playing bad, it's not going to help me. So I think they just kind of are pretty laid back, stay out of the way. My parents like to walk up in front of me to, you know, either spot or, you know, just kind of not be in the way at all. And so I think that's been good. I mean, obviously they're excited when I play well and want to help me the most when I don't play well. And so I think it's been pretty very fruitful of a relationship between that standpoint. So, I mean, all in all, it's been great. I mean, they're awesome. I love when they come out to watch. They come out to most of the collegiate events. Obviously, one of my parents come in the summer when I travel. So, I mean, it's great having them on the road too, for sure. So,
and then throughout all sports, you know, whether it's baseball or basketball or golf, some different parents will approach it in different ways. Sometimes they and their child will want to talk through the round or the game. Other times they'll say, you know, no, we're going to wait. We're going to go home. There's no golf talk for 2 hours or until we're done with dinner. There's a lot of different dynamics about how you're going to, you know, how you're going to approach what just happened in the game or the round. How do you do that with your parents?
I would say it just depends. Like some days it's like, all right, let's wait a little bit and talk about it. Or if it's really bad, it's like, all right, let's talk about it right now on the car ride back or whatever it is. And, or at lunch after the round or whatever is happening. And usually it ends up, you know, going practicing whatever it is. And I mean, there's been some heated conversation obviously, but you know, that shows that you care and my parents care about me and my success. And so I think that's awesome. I mean, in the moment you're, you know, obviously frustrated and probably don't like each other at the second, but, at the end of the day, when you take a step back and look at it, it's just like, wow, like I'm happy that they care that much about how you're doing and, you know, how to be better in your sport.
So, Mike, your golf game, where do you think you've improved the most in your time at Wichita State?
I'd say recently I've definitely improved swing-wise. I think from last spring to this beginning of spring, I think my swings definitely increased, like, speed and I'd say my shot, like, dispersion is definitely narrowed into more straighter and, you know, hitting less wayward shots, I'd say. My short game's always been pretty good throughout my life. I'd say it's, you know, obviously incrementally increasing. But I'd say one of the biggest things is, like, I always look each year back to, like, a time or whatever, or, you know, if I play the same course or what happened, and rate kind of like, okay, this round I know I didn't play well. And if I didn't play well today and my strokes, you know, it's improving to my average of scoring, I'd say, for sure. Like, my scoring average, if I don't play well, has definitely been on the better side of, you know, closer to par instead of, you know, I guess last year it was a little bit worse.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh, give us a scouting report on Mike's golf game.
Mike kind of nailed it. When he came to campus, you know, his short game was really nice. Best on the team right away, I thought. His putting has improved a lot in the last year. That's something he's worked really hard on, that him and I have worked a lot on. And I always heard that he could get really hot with the putter and make a ton of putts and kind of cold here and there. And I think he's become a lot more consistent to where he still gets hot, but the colds aren't as cold, which is a big key in putting. And then his ball striking over the last year has improved tremendously. I know in the spring he was really struggling with some of his irons, his long irons, and hit some pretty gross shots, he would tell you. And now it's kind of, you know, if you want someone to step up and hit a tight fairway or hit a long iron into a tucked pin, like he can do it. A way higher rate than last spring. I mean, the change in his ball striking in the last year is incredible to where it was. I mean, so he's one of those guys who's, it's going to be pretty hard for him to shoot above 75. Like, a lot has to go wrong outside of his control because he just doesn't miss very often, which is why he's played every event for us.
Mike, what's the favorite golf course you've played?
Let's see. I'd probably say, Prairie Dunes is definitely up there.
Prairie Dunes and Hutchinson.
Yep. And there's another course. So there's this course down in Jacksonville, Florida. It's called Pablo Creek Golf Club. It's phenomenal. It's on Pablo Creek down there, and it's fantastic. But I mean, a more notable one would probably be Baltusrol for sure. So,
Josh, how about you?
Prairie Dunes is up there. That's the highest ranked course I've played.
And describe Prairie Dunes for it's. Yeah. Quite unique.
So Prairie Dunes is it's Perry Maxwell, one of the most notable designers, especially in this part of the country. Probably most people would say top five of all time. So he used the land. There was almost no land moved, and they have a little, I guess, shovel on 17 out there to show, like, this is how we move the land, and it's tiny. So the land is just perfect for a golf course, and, you know, there's not a lot of trees, but the slope is a big deal out there. You got to know how to use the slopes, and the wind's always kind of blowing, and, I mean, for me, coming to Kansas without ever being here, the views out there are amazing. I mean, there's some high points out there, and you can see the whole golf course, and it's just one of the most special places I've been out there, just for the history of it, for playing a Perry Maxwell golf course. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love it, which I've been fortunate enough to play that twice. Hope to go back. It's hard to get on, but I hope to go back. And my other favorite is probably Blue Jack National, which is a Tiger Woods design outside of Houston, Texas. It's a very laid-back golf course. You can do whatever you want. When we played in school, we used to play eightsomes out there. Just take carts, drive wherever, do whatever you want. It's basically like a flatter Augusta National. You feel like you're at Augusta when you're out there. So if I were to play two rounds, the last two places before I die, it's got to be those two.
So, Josh, your college golf career is still fresh. You just wrapped up in 2021 at Boise State. How does being that close in age to the people on the team, how's that help coach them?
Yeah, you know, everyone I've heard, it was going to be a challenge being young, and that's kind of a barrier I've had to overcome. But the way I see it is players are changing from the old days where you don't necessarily need to be hard on them all the time, yell at them. It's not the way coaching used to be, I think. So being young, I think, is a strength because I can relate to what they're going through. The feelings are fresh on how they're feeling on the golf course, how they feel about going to workouts, going to school, and being busy from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. So I understand that better. And just being able to relate to everything, I think, is a huge strength to me that, you know, in 30 years I won't quite have. So that's why I think being a young coach, especially not having to be the one to yell at them when they do something wrong, I think it's a great strength is to help them because they trust me. They know I was just there, and they understand that I'm still a good player. So when I tell them something, they take it to heart because they know I want the best for them, and they know what I know what I'm talking about, which is important to Judd, is having an assistant coach who can play high level golf for that reason. My head coach when I was in school never played golf, which is kind of crazy because he's in the Hall of Fame, won national championship. So he kind of had the same idea as Judd, is, man, I need an assistant coach who can play. My assistant coach was a great player, and everybody listened to him all the time. So I think being young and still being a good player are kind of my two strengths as a coach, as opposed to viewing it as a negative. I like to look at it as a positive.
Yeah, so Mike, from a player's perspective, I guess what's most interesting is Josh is still out there. He was in the U.S. Amateur this summer. Does that help him coaching? Does that help get guys to listen, to pay attention?
Oh, for sure. I would say, I mean, we obviously, Josh and I have played many rounds together here in Wichita, and even on the road down in Texas this fall, we even played together and then just for a fun round. And so, I mean, I've looked up to Josh's game for sure. I mean, he played at A&M, one of the best schools in the country when he played. And so, I mean, his game is, I mean, one of the best. If you're playing on the team, you're one of the best out there. So I think having that aspect of, you know, not just past results, but, I mean, he's still a great player to this day. I mean, made the round of 32 in the USAM this year. I mean, that's phenomenal playing. And I think having that, like, as a coach, you know, he's going to give you great advice. He's going to, you know, he's had his, you know, he's learned from his failures. You know, he knows what to do. And so I think giving that advice to us week to week and in practice or on the road is important to being successful as a player too, is when you have someone looking out for you and your game. I think that's important to have for sure.
So Josh, Mike is team captain. Tell us, he's only been here, I guess he's just over a year now. Tell us how that reflects, I guess, his respect, his maturity on the team.
Yeah, and, you know, he came in last spring, midway through the year, which is unusual for golf. But after being only here one semester, his teammates voted him one of the two team captains, along with Dawson Lewis, who's fifth-year senior. So I think to be looped in with Dawson there is a sign of how much his teammates respect him, because all those guys look up to Dawson. And so for them to have the same opinion of Mike as they do Dawson says a lot about him. And, I mean, he's way more mature. I told you the other day, he doesn't seem like a 19-year-old kid. So we can trust him to keep other guys accountable. We trust him on the road. We trust him to play with donors or the athletic director if we need him to. And his teammates see that as well as us. And so, I mean, it's not very often, because technically, I guess, still a freshman this last fall, being only here for one semester to be a team captain, says a lot about him.
So, Mike, we've got three Texans on the Shocker roster, three Kansans on the Shocker roster. Take us through some of the NFL banter that's going on during the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough weekend for a few of those guys, for sure, with the Cowboys' loss. I mean, I'd say Aston and Dawson. We were watching in our living room. I live with Aston and Dawson, and they were definitely down bad. I'd say there wasn't very many words said after that game, for sure. And obviously, me being a Kansas City guy, I'm a big Chiefs guy. So obviously, I'm a little afraid of this weekend, but I think this year we're going to beat the Bengals. And so I think it's fun, though. I mean, it's fun having other guys that are fans of other teams, because you guys can go back and forth and, you know, give each other crap for, you know, who's who. And, you know, like Aston, he's not a fan of Dak right now, and so he's been just clowning him recently and such. And it's been pretty funny to be around, for sure. It's always fun, you know, having that kind of stuff off the course to just kind of, like, you know, take your mind off of golf and, you know, have fun. You know, that's the biggest thing too.
And are you kind and considerate when your friends are struggling with their NFL team, or do you rub it in a little bit?
There's a little bit of both, I'd say. I've never wanted to be that guy that just, like, makes fun of everything. I mean, obviously the Cowboys had a great year still. I think, you know, they obviously previous years have not been as good. And so I wouldn't say I would rub it in as much to be nice about it. But, you know, I respect their team still. I mean, maybe not as much as the Chiefs, but so I think I'm pretty good about it still. I don't think I said anything that would hurt them much.
And
this
I think
weekend.
if there's any franchise that kind of invites that kind of teasing, it would be the Dallas Cowboys. I think
it's the Cowboys. I mean, nothing against anyone, but I mean, there's a few names that you could list that maybe need to move on, or, you know, new openings need to be made, for sure, or looks, but. Yeah, so, I mean, you hit that spot on. I'd say the Cowboys are definitely of the NFL are the team that almost make fun of, for sure. But
thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
Bradshaw into Wingate. Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Cousinard. Threw it away. Cousinard to Ryan Martin for the dunk! The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16! It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jumper by Smith is no good. Wichita State to the Sweet 16!